Well, I think it was last year I had a rather large tomato. Anybody remember that? Yeah, and all the seeds and thousands upon thousands of seeds from the tomatoes on a plant, which each seed could create a complete plant with many, many tomatoes on it. And what I was trying to do was to demonstrate the vast provision that God makes for us. So it isn't just a little bit enough for this year. There's enough to eat and to plant and for several years. The thing I'm thinking of this evening is the breadth of choice. Remember when the children of Israel were in the desert? What did they have to eat? Manna. And occasionally quail's eggs. But it was a pretty stodgy diet when you think about it. And they were told to just take enough for one day and not to hoard it, unless it happened to be the day before the Sabbath when they could take 2 days' worth. Well, we've got quite a range there, and it's not just fruit, it's vegetables. It's combinations of all sorts of things. I'm sure that the children of Israel were really thankful when they invented the pool can, you know, the little ring can, that so they could open the soup easily. But all those things, if you ask the children, where do they come from, they'll say Tesco. Ask me, I'll say they come from God. Because God has given us the ability to plant seed, to look after those plants, to water them and feed them, and then after that time, to pick the harvest in abundance. And there are people growing apples, pears, and a whole range of fruits, a whole range of vegetables. And we see many, many there. All sorts of things there. Some nice diabetic-friendly bananas. Because apparently when they go brown, they're not friendly anymore. So, because they're full of sugar. But just think, God, that's just a small sample. There's masses and masses and masses of different fruit, vegetables and produce that God has given us the ability to plant and recreate and harvest. But of course, when Abraham set off, they were an itinerant nation, weren't they? So there was no real benefit in planting seeds on Monday and then clearing off to some other part of the country on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and leaving them behind. So I think the concept of harvest didn't occur to people like Abraham, apart from perhaps some of the stuff that grows on trees. They might have been able to use those. And also, of course, they were farmers of animals. And so they had the animals, and we read in the Old Testament that they had to bring the perfect lamb and sacrifice it to God in thanks for what God had done for them. But generally speaking, they wouldn't understand the concept of harvest, the concept of planting seed, looking after the plants, and then harvesting at the end. Perhaps they had a little thought about it when they were in Egypt. But looking at the film, it just struck me that what the children of Israel did in Egypt, they made bricks to build buildings with, and they were pretty well slave driven. So I don't see in Egypt that they would have got a real understanding of the harvest. And then God took them out of Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea, and they went in the desert. And because of disobedience, they stayed in the desert for 40 years. I don't think there they would have any concept of harvest, of God's provision, apart from every morning there was manna, and they could go and pick it and pick enough for the day. And then they went into the promised land. Now they stopped becoming itinerant, and they started to live in the houses there and build new houses, and they become settled in one place. And we read that each tribe was given their own area of land. Now they could start to understand about planting seeds. Now they could understand about looking after the land and seeing the harvest come. So they would be quite pleased with this, wouldn't they? Because they could come in here and they say, yeah, they've learnt a lesson from us. But why was we have the feast of harvest, although I think it's called something different formally. Let me just see if I can find it. No, I'm not going to get there. So, but there are seven feasts that were declared, and all of these feasts were fitting into the agricultural year. So it started off with spring and sowing seed, and then the various first of all the feast of the Passover, which you will remember is when Jesus at the Last Supper at Passover took the bread, took the wine and said, this is my body broken for you. But the wine was in fact intended to be in the olden days when this happened, the blood of a pure lamb spread across the lintel of the door, so that the angel of death knew to pass over that house and move on and not do any harm. So the feast of the Passover was instituted at that time to remember all every year this feast. And we do know now that when you have the feast of the Passover as a proper Jewish ceremony, they get an update from the local leader on what it meant, what the Passover actually meant. He told the story of the Passover, so it was refreshed each year. Then we had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which follows straight on from that, which was about they'd had no bread with yeast in to remember the time at the Passover where they ate the lamb that they sacrificed. But Moses said to them, keep your shoes on, keep your coat on, because as soon as you've eaten this, you're off, you're going. And it turns out that they were going to be chased out rather than just going. You've got the Feast of First Fruits. And this is where the Israelites would bring a sheaf of corn, and the priest would take it and would wave it, the first fruits, thanking God for his provision. Then you've got Pentecost, after the first fruits, and that celebrated the end of the grain harvest. So they're all linked to this agricultural year, aren't they? And then the Feast of Trumpets, which was said to commemorate the end of the agricultural and festival year. So all these things happened in the agricultural year, and the Feast of Trumpets was at the end, and then they went straight from there into the Day of Atonement, where the priest went into the temple and sacrificed the lamb on behalf of the whole of the Israel community. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, So the Israelites presented offerings to the Lord, during which time they lived in huts made from palm branches. So they were bringing things all the time to God in thanks. Does that help to kind of put the festival into context? Because what have we done? We brought things which God has provided and offered them back to him, and we feel him saying to us, these gifts or the proceeds from these should go to those communities who are in need. But you know, the harvest has a spiritual option as well to it. It's not just about growing and agriculture and food. It's about sowing the seed. Sowing the seeds of life. Of spreading the gospel. And as a church, and every church in the world, is commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And make disciples. So we, as a church, have a responsibility to go into the world, and that means the village just down the road, and demonstrate our faith and show them and sow the seeds of God's love. And then there's a time of waiting and of working to just keep things going until the harvest comes. And we are promised a spiritual harvest. We're promised that we can go and find the harvest. It said the fields are white unto harvest, but the labourers are few. Now, one thing you'll notice, it's a lot easier to plant seed than it is to harvest the crop. Because God has magnified it so much that it weighs tons, where you could walk around with most of your seed in your hand. There's a harvest out there. And the labourers that are needed to bring the harvest in, it says, are few. And we have the perfect excuse, but we're too old. Well, I am anyway, I must be. But is that so? Is it our job, old as we are or young as we are, to go into the world and bring those people into our fellowship? The harvest that God's promising us is people who've accepted the seed, the word of God, let it grow in their hearts and come to a point where now they want more. And God offers more. As long as we nip out there and bring them in. So the spiritual aspect of the harvest is that God is asking for labourers to go out and bring in the harvest. So we've got provision, we've got plenty, we've got the ability to help other people with our harvest. We thank God for his provision for us. And we go out as Christians and we sow the seed. And then we need to go out and bring in the harvest.